You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's August 1st, 2024, and welcome to another episode of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. My name is John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you the latest video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek delivered to you in just about 15 minutes. And to ensure that you never miss an episode, you can subscribe to the show on all major platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And it would be great if you left a review while you're there to help spread the word about the show. I am very happy that you have tuned in today, because on this episode, I'm going to be talking about SteamWorld Heist 2. But first, I am sending out this week's positive vibes to the state of Colorado. Did you know that today is Colorado Day? I bet you didn't. Unless you live in Colorado, and then maybe you did. I've never been there myself, but I've heard good things. It's a pretty interesting place. For instance, did you know that the cheeseburger was invented in Denver in 1935 at a restaurant called Humpty Dumpty? Or that Leadville, Colorado is the highest city in the United States at 10,152 feet? Did you know that? Or perhaps that the city of Rocky Ford is the self-proclaimed melon capital of the world. That's true. Their high school mascot is the Meloneer. Amazing. So, happy Colorado Day to all those who are in observance today. The SteamWorld franchise from Image and Form and Thunderful Games has featured a variety of highly successful games since debuting back in 2010. You've got SteamWorld Dig, which is their Metroidvania-style action platformer. There's SteamWorld Quest, which is a deck-building RPG. SteamWorld Build, which is a SimCity kind of management simulator. And SteamWorld Heist, a turn-based action strategy game. It's a wildly impressive accomplishment for a smaller publisher to release such a diverse lineup of games that all take place in this single universe. As great as that is, though, I myself have never played any of the SteamWorld games. It's just one of those franchises that, for whatever reason, just never made it onto my hard drive. Next week sees the release of the latest game in the franchise, SteamWorld Heist 2. And while I don't have a ton of experience in the turn-based genre outside of Gears Tactics and the Mario and Rabbit games, I was excited to jump into this world for the first time and see what I'd been missing. So I've spent the last couple of weeks digging in, and I have found a game that manages to find that sweet spot of being accessible and easy to learn, but it gives you a really good challenge as well. So you take on the role of Captain Leeway, a one-armed steamboat pirate who is assembling a ragtag crew to take on both the Royal Navy as well as skeleton raiders while trying to uncover the truth behind a crisis which is threatening the entire world's water supply. It's a fun little story that's got good writing, likable characters, and a nice art style that gives all the Steam bots a bunch of personality. It's a cool world to play around in and explore. The real meat and potatoes of the game is the gameplay, and that is what hooked me way more than I was expecting it to. So like I said, it's turn-based, so you'll be taking turns with the enemy, moving your team around the level and attacking. you get a certain number of spaces that you can move, as well as actions which you can perform, like either using your weapon to attack or items that you have. It's all about positioning yourself just right to get the drop on your enemy without leaving yourself vulnerable to their next move. The interesting thing about this game, I thought, as opposed to other games in the genre that I've played, at least, is that this is played in a 2D side-scrolling space, as opposed to isometric 3D or top-down view. So it's less about like flanking your enemy from the sides and more about using cover and attacking from either above or below. And each bot on your squad can be assigned a class, which comes with unique weapons as well as special perks. So you need to put some thought into who you're sending into the field, depending on the situation. Some people are going to be better suited than others. For instance, the sniper class can use their long sightline to pull off the perfect shot that will ricochet off the ceiling and then a barrel and then headshot the enemy while he's hiding behind cover, which is just ridiculously satisfying when you pull it off. The brawler can get up close and personal with melee weapons, and another uses explosives and a rocket launcher, which can clear out large groups of weaker enemies in like a single blast. And you can also have a character switch their class at any time and then spend points to give them access to some of the perks that they gained under another. So you can level up as an engineer and then switch to a sniper, but unlock some of those engineer skills, like, you know, there's healing abilities or the ability to become invulnerable for a single turn. It allows some really interesting mixing and matching of classes the further you get along in the game, which it's really fun to mess around with. There's a lot to play around with as far as customizing your team for battle, including hiring new bots to join you from the bars that are scattered around the world. Bars that also serve as rest locations to heal, and buying and finding better weapons and gear to equip. But the game does a fantastic job of introducing everything at a really nice pace. So I never felt like I was jumping into the deep end of the pool, or the ocean, I guess, in this case. The learning curve is really well done, and it walks that line where it was challenging, but rarely frustrating. But don't get me wrong, this game does get pretty hard later on. The missions can have various objectives, like finding and killing a specific target or collecting a piece of epic loot in a limited amount of turns before it's destroyed. And some of the levels have an alarm that will sound every few turns, bringing more bad guys into play. So if you don't smartly and strategically take out your enemies effectively, you can quickly find yourself vastly outnumbered and in big trouble. In later levels, you really need to put a lot of thought into each of your moves, or else you'll end up in a situation where you just can't win. There were several missions where I just barely made it to the exit with like only one surviving Steam bot on his last hit points. I do appreciate, though, that at any time you can reload a checkpoint, which will rewind the game from two moves ago with no penalty. So as tough as it can get, even if you mess up, you can try and salvage the mission without starting completely from the beginning. In between levels, you'll explore the world map and engage in real-time combat with other ships at sea. This naval combat it's much simpler than the other gameplay. Basically, point your ship at the enemy and avoid their attacks and see who dies first. But it's a neat little activity in between the main missions, and you can upgrade your ship with new weapons and shields and equipment. I'm roughly 25 or so hours into SteamWorld Heist 2 at this point, and I've really, really had a lot of fun with it. The world is interesting, it's got some really good music, and the turn-based battles are challenging and incredibly rewarding when your strategy pays off. It feels deep, but also accessible. And I think it's a must play for fans of this genre. And even if you've only dabbled with turn-based strategy like me, I think this is absolutely worth a go. So for the last month or so, I've been watching Twin Peaks for the very first time. Never seen it. The show originally aired back in like 1990, and I've been working my way through it while listening to the Nextlander Watchcast discussions of the series. It's a super bizarre and oftentimes confusing show that feels a little bit like Lost or The X-Files mixed with a daytime soap opera, but with its own brand of weirdness. It's bonkers, but I've been hooked. I'm really having a good time. A weird thing happened the other day, though, that really threw me for a loop and messed up my head. So like I said, the first two seasons and the follow-up movie came out in the early 80s, but after the show was canceled, it sat untouched until 25 years later when creator David Lynch created a third season over at Showtime titled Twin Peaks: The Return. I had this image in my head of how these characters looked and how old they were, but when I watched the first episode of season 3, I couldn't believe how old everybody was. I mean, yeah, that's like how time works, but come on. The 90s weren't that long ago, were they? God, if these actors are this old, what does that make me? And this hit me hard. I was watching at night and I couldn't sleep after that. I know I'm almost 50 years old, but honestly, I don't think of myself that way. In my brain, I'm probably, you know, still in my 30s, even though I'm not. This time jump in the show got in my head so much, it just messed with me. I've always had anxiety and fear about getting older, and this sudden reminder didn't help. I had to get out of bed and go get a drink and play some Xbox, and eventually I calmed my mind enough to go back to bed and fall asleep. But as soon as I closed my eyes, another thing hit me. This season 3 itself was already like 7 years old. Oh, God. So last week's question for polling at Threads was, which Olympic games do you prefer? The winter or the summer games? And this one was split right down the middle, 50-50. I honestly don't know which I prefer. I love snowboarding and skiing and the luge, but I also really like skateboarding and swimming and volleyball at the summer games. It's honestly a toss-up for me. So for this week's question, I want to know if you had to choose one of the following as the only Nintendo franchise that you could play for the rest of your life, which would it be? If you had to pick between The Legend of Zelda, Super Mario Brothers, Animal Crossing, or Smash Brothers, you can only pick one. You can only play one of these series until the end of your days. So what do you pick? Go visit Midlife Side Quest on Threads after the show and cast your vote. And I'll share the results next week. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review while you're there. And you can follow me on Threads by looking for Midlife Side Quest if you'd like to chat after the show. So until next week, be well and happy gaming. Thank you.